If you have a Bible with you or close to you, please turn in the New Testament to the book of Philippians. In the New Testament, the book of Philippians. Chapter 3 in my Bible, it's on page 1670. Philippians 3. So good to be back in the land of eternal sunshine here. Being away with our kids out west for this past week, Christmas to New Year's Eve, I know I've told a couple people we actually saw the sun for about 5 minutes in the entire week. And then we had one day in which I said in the winter in Washington State on the west side, if it's not raining, it's cloudy. And if it's not cloudy, it's raining. And that was about it. And we had one day in which we realized, oh, it could rain like this all day long. And it did. That was our let's stay inside day. So it's great to be back. Philippians chapter 3. And I'll just read from verses 12 through 16. Paul writing, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Philippians 3:13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Lord, thank you so much for your word. It is a precious gift. We have nothing else like it on the face of the earth. The scripture, the word of God. Lord, thank you for your grace and working in our lives. Lord, I know even there are those from our midst here as our normal church family that are away, that are traveling at this time on this holiday weekend. Grant them mercy in their traveling because there's so much that could happen. And so, Lord, give them safety to get to their destinations in one piece. Lord, thank you for what you do, that many things for us we're not even aware of. Lord, for those with needs of health, we continue to pray for them and just ask your grace working in their bodies and your peace working in their minds. And Lord, even your joy in their hearts, knowing that belonging to Jesus, they're still in your hands. Lord, it's your mercy, it's your goodness we just pray for. Lord, for our lives here, thank you that you know each one of us individually. For Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, help us to see those times and see those places and see your plans and cooperate and just gladly serve you, Lord, and serve others. Thank you, Lord, you've placed a new year before us. We are people of the calendar, even though you are the God who is everlasting. You still choose to work with us in time, in real time. What a mystery. And yet, Lord, we just want to commit ourselves to you again for what you have for us, for which will be for our good and for your glory. And so, Lord, for your blessing upon these things that we will consider from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some things in which Paul addresses in this portion which has to do with going ahead. He uses the term, I press on. Let us go forward. And so, verse 14, I press toward. And then he says in verse 15, if you have a smattering of growth and development in Christ, then this should be evident to you. And if you haven't quite got it yet, then it's okay. God will make it clear to you as well. Because God's design for his people is to always be able to go forward. You know, back in the Old Testament, at the time when the people of Israel came out of Egypt under the leadership of Charlton Heston. Oh, no, wait. Oh, it was Moses. We saw the movie with Charlton Heston in it. Great film. Under the guidance of Moses, whom God used, that it was God's intention to get them out of that incredible hardship of called Egypt, that iron smelting pot, the furnace, and to take them across their desert journeys, worse than southeastern Wyoming, and then to take them into the promised land, the land of Israel, the land that God said, hey, this is the land with milk and honey and all the good that God had provided for him. And so that was God's intention, and the Old Testament is clear on that. He brought them out to take them in. And yet it was that in-between time where they just sort of kept flunking the grade and had to be put on pause for some 40 years. So that except for a few individuals who came out, who went in, the rest of the some million of people of the nation at that point was an entirely new generation. But God's intention was for them to come out to go in. It was never for them to get waylaid in the wilderness. So that's something of this focus that Paul brings here, to press on, to press toward. And there's some things here I want us to just briefly look at. And hopefully at the start of the year, as a pastor and presenter of God's word, I can be true to the word briefly. Some of Paul's attitude that leads to the pressing on is found in this verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, and I do not count myself to have apprehended. Well, there's some things that Paul is describing in which we could say are consistent with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he writes, I had this affliction, I asked God to do something about it, and the Lord Jesus answered and said, I'm not going to, because in the midst of your weakness through this affliction, you're going to learn that my strength working through you is better than what you can do on your own. And the only way that you'll be able to experience that is if you know what it's like to try to tackle something on your own. And so Paul learned, oh, so Jesus said, my strength is perfected, comes out best in times of weakness. And so Paul would go, well, then, in my times of weakness, I have the most opportunity to lean on the strength of the Lord. But it's in the time of weakness. So his first attitude that he expresses is consistent with that in this. Not that I've already attained, verse 12, or I'm already perfected, or do not count myself to have apprehended, but there's something that I'm pressing on toward. And if you think the Apostle Paul, who is used of the Lord to do all kinds of, let's see, church planting, people coming to know Jesus Christ. He trained leaders. He led leaders. He developed the original networking, church networking, where they were, but he and his co-worker travelers were the network people as they moved around. All those things, Paul in teaching. And so you'd think, this guy is a spiritual combination of the Hulk, John Wayne, and Rocky Balboa, because his whole life just kept going forward for the gospel. And what isn't there on the checklist of the Apostle Paul that you could say he did not do or have a hand in? Because he did about it all, you know. And he did, and God used him in amazing ways. And yet, to think of him that on a spiritual category of 1 to 10, Paul would probably be about a 9.95. And yet there's something with the Apostle Paul that he says of himself, now wait, there's something in which I'm not there yet. I haven't apprehended. I haven't been perfected. I haven't attained. I'm not there yet. And you go, wow, the Apostle Paul is admitting of himself, somebody that you would look back spiritually or look at spiritually and go, oh, he's out of my category. I'm not even in kindergarten compared to the Apostle Paul. But here he says, there's this in which I'm not at yet. I haven't apprehended. So I think it's a healthy awareness of a personal inadequacy. Because there's a times in which the actual way to take a step forward with Jesus Christ is to realize that we are personally inadequate. Now, that's not exactly what we like to hear in terms of our society, in terms of you can do this. You can tackle this. You can handle it. Okay, that's probably about me being thrown out and going, you see that calf? You see this hot iron? You can brand them. It's like, no, forget this. No, I'm just not there yet. So, but I wouldn't mind the experience of it. Because we have good insurance now, and so if I hurt myself, I can be taken care of. So, a healthy awareness of a personal inadequacy. That there are certain things in which that God would ask me to do, to bear, to carry, where I'd just be saying, you know, Lord, I just you might have you're talking to the wrong person. And if we believe the Lord God is sovereign, he never talks to the wrong person. He never gets the wrong call. Personal inadequacy. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. But there's also this perspective that goes hand in hand with a sense of personal inadequacy. And the perspective that's laid out for us here that he says some three times, two or three times, is, but I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm going on. Paul uses, as he does in other places, Greek words that have certain meanings, and here it's back to the athletic realm. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing toward. Now, for those who have watched athletics or participated in them, you realize that to press on or towards is not an easy thing. It just doesn't come to you on the blue, out of the sky, on a silver platter. He says, this is something I'm pressing towards. I had the opportunity this past week to go with our oldest daughter to a place in which you have to pay money for them to inflict pain on you, whether for an hour or half an hour. It was called Gold's Gym. Well, Gold's Gym does not make you feel like gold when you come out. You might feel like gold walking in early in the morning. But coming out, you don't even feel like tin. It's just, you know, oh, Dad, would you come and join me for, you know. So one time, it was kind of the full workout thing. So after a half an hour of that, and there was a half an hour to go, I told my daughter, I think I'm going to rewrite my will. And then after that, it's like, I was just kidding. I said, so do we have just one half an hour more in this time of purgatory? Get me out of there. And of course, you always have the cheerful instructors up in front, which are just encourage you on. And of course, they're actually in shape. And it's funny how that works. Well, they must be in shape because they don't do anything else for life. It's like, get a life. Don't you ever do anything except lift dumbbells, speak into the loud system with the music blaring in the back. You know, and it's like, okay, you can do this better. Just hold that there. Hold it. Hold it. I'm burning. Hold it. I'm going to collapse. And then the second worst thing that happened in the past week was going back with her for the second time to do a different workout. At least it was just a half an hour rather than a full. And it was a core. I said, core? Yes, we're talking the core of an apple here. We're talking the core of your body, which is from here to here. So it's like after 5 minutes, my stomach was burning. I didn't know you could do so many different things in that regard. Press toward. It carries with it a more running figure, pressing towards. But that's what Paul is saying. I am putting into this what I can. It's like the little bit of, okay, we're going to walk here on a different part of the gym. And meanwhile, there's this guy over there who's probably about 22 years old, and I'm walking at 2.5 miles an hour, and he's got to be going 35. Press on. So now couple that with a sense of personal inadequacy, but Paul says at the same time, I haven't got it. I'm not there. So what I'm doing is this, is I'm pushing ahead. Now it's good to know in pushing ahead. Verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward. See, in verse 13, there's a part of this pressing on in our lives, where it's right in the middle of verse 13. Forgetting. Charles Spurgeon, the great prince of preachers. I think it's him, or maybe it's... No, Warren Wiersbe. Another great preacher. Warren Wiersbe. Different generation. We are to... The problem with us is we forget the things we're supposed to remember. So I can't even remember this. And we remember the things we're supposed to forget. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking, who didn't always, he wasn't raised in the cradle of a God-fearing home. Well, he was, but it was a different type of God-fearing home. It was intensely Jewish. And he was raised to be the cream of the cream in a Jewish Hebrew religious system. And that's what he says to him. I mean, it's in the verses before this where chapter 3, verse 5, he calls himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was elite. He wasn't the 1%. He was the 0.5%. And so in his zeal to promote the Hebrew Judaic religion, Saul, the name, same man, was the one who went around trying to kill off these new followers of this new Jesus Christ religion. That was him, the man on the mission to get them wiped out. And he succeeded until Jesus met him at a certain place in a certain way. And his life was turned around. So when you think of him saying, forgetting, what do you have to forget? Do you have murder in your background? I hope not. And this is Paul forgetting those things that are behind. To think of him, what did he have to forget? Oh, because he was involved in having people killed just because they called themselves Christians. They were followers of Jesus Christ. That's all. That was their crime. It's good enough for him. Forget those things. So what do you have to forget? So we're in a new year, and there's other places in the Bible that starts with the first day of the first month. So even though God is eternal and everlasting, he does work with us in real time. And he realizes we are people of the calendar because we're people of time. So are there things to forget? Now, maybe there's things not to forget, things to remember. I mean, we should be able to remember the good things that God has done in our lives for us. Never forget those things. Don't want to forget the good that God has done. But there's a time in which we should be able to forget the bad that we have done. Now, if it's taken care of, you know, if it's like, for example, within this past year, I really messed up badly with someone and just verbally took a stripe off them, everything like that. And God always wants to bring that back to my memory because I have not gone back to them and rightfully confess, apologize, ask forgiveness. Then why would I want to forget that other than I'd like to forget so I don't have to be responsible for what I've done? However, if I've taken care of what I'm supposed to have taken care of, then I can forget. It's interesting in Sunday school, again talking about the people of Israel, and it was in the book of Numbers that we studied in adult Sunday school. Which it was, what chapter did we do this morning? 22, 23. There's a phrase in there. Because now it's the wandering in the wilderness time. And the people of Israel, being of the flesh of human flesh, had their times of, in the start of those years, of complaining, of disobeying, and where God just had to discipline them in certain ways. But I thought it was interesting in Numbers 23 that at this point, even with all of that as a background, the Lord says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. Even though that all happened, it was taken care of. From God's perspective, it's forgotten. You know, when a person comes to Jesus Christ in faith, God's and our sins are put on him on the cross and taken with him from the cross to the grave and left there because he died in my place as my substitute. And I come to him in simple faith and say, Jesus, you did this for me. Yes. Be my Lord and Savior, please, that I may live for you. Then those things are forgotten by God. And even in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, and their sins and iniquities I will not remember anymore. God never forgets, but there are certain things he chooses not to remember. I will not remember. It's like Corrie Ten Boom, who had the saying, I think it was her, you know, God will put our sins into the depths of the seas, and then he'll hang out a no fishing sign. Which is what he does. Because he doesn't remember, but will want to remember. So I think our brains are geared to remember the negative much more than the positive. So he says, forget. So there's things to forget. There's things to remember. Which is all part of the going ahead. And then finally, what's to go ahead to what? He says in verse 14, the goal. for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The goal for the prize. The goal. The upward call. What is this goal? What is this prize? So it's not like a prize that we think of. You know, what's behind door three? What prize is there? That's not this. You know, I've thought about this a lot. And there's one thing in heaven that just gets better with time. Now, just a quick show of hands for not just who has seen the Chronicles of Narnia movies, but if somebody has actually read the entire set of books. Set of books? Excellent. Because there's something in heaven that once it starts, just keeps getting better. And in the scripture, why make it a mystery? In the same chapter, let's see. Verse 8, a couple of verses earlier than we read. I count all things loss, Paul says, for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And then he goes, verse 10, that I may know him. So there's one thing in heaven, I think, that will become eternally more fulfilling and better. And that's my relationship and my enjoyment of the person of Jesus Christ. It will be mind-boggling to start with and simply get better. I mean, it's Jesus who makes heaven heaven. Because without Jesus Christ in heaven, it's hell. It's Jesus who makes heaven heaven. And so, what's this? Why did Christ, verse 12, lay hold of me, that I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me? Why did he lay hold of me? What good can I do him in the natural? In the natural, we're all works in motion. And not a work of art. Well, we are. Actually, he's making us that. But we're a work in progress. So why did he lay hold of me? I think it's just simply because, very simply because, he wants us to belong to him. He wants us to know him more and more. And that's what Paul says, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in the sufferings, if so perchance I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. But he starts with that I may know him. So what's the one thing that is going to be progressively better in heaven as timeless time goes on? That I may enjoy him. That I may know him better. See, now that's why I think in Psalm 16, towards the end, we're just done here. Psalm 16:11, where David, at the end of this song, Psalm 16 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And the stress there is not the joy and the pleasures. The focus for him is in your presence and at your right hand. There'll be a lot more to heaven than just that, but the thing that gets best, I think, that will be better in heaven. Paul said here, that I may know him. And that's why Jesus Christ laid a hold of each one who belongs to him, and why he wants to lay a hold of others. I mean, man, again, Paul and his background, what kind of life was that? And yet, he could say, he laid hold of me. What an awesome truth. To be able to honestly be able to say in your heart of hearts, oh, he's laid hold of me. And it's for this reason. It's not even, what can I do for him? That's not why he laid hold of me. It's, to know Him and to enjoy Him better. Hey, 5 minutes in heaven. 5 minutes, if there are such a thing as minutes. And there's a lot of this life that's just gone. It's just forgotten. Doesn't seem like it now, because we are people of the clock and the calendar. But then, it will be. Glory to Him. Lord, thank You so much for Your word. Just pray Your blessing on it. Lord, that we may be a people, and even as a church family, to simply go forward. To do what we need to do, if there's anything in the past. But if there is, and that's been taken care of, Lord, to find ourselves growing in You and in enjoyment of You and enjoyment of Your word through this next year. Thank You. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnal.